This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte.
Today's word on the future, together. Because the future of business isn't driven by what machines or people do alone, but by all they can achieve together. See how we can help at Deloitte.com/US/innovate.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Soloway's show Transparent debuted in 2014, starring Jeffrey Tambor as a person transitioning rather late in life to a new identity as a woman. I think it's already joined the small list of TV shows, like All in the Family, that capture an issue everybody's talking about and make it more real through fiction. Soloway's just released a pilot for a new show on Amazon that debuted last month, and if anything, it's even more provocative, and we'll get to that in a minute. Jill, Transparent is a phenomenon, and it's brought something new into our lives, but through an old means, using comedy, family comedy, and poking at the narcissism of families. But politically, it's bringing something completely new, which is the life of a trans person who's making a transition from male to female. I wish we could start by talking about the environment into which this show came, the media representation of trans people, how you saw it, and what you set out to do.
Yeah, I didn't really have major political aspirations when I was writing. They were very personal. My parent had come out. I was very nervous. I didn't really quite get it. I was, you know, I knew younger trans people, but I didn't know people my parents' age, early 70s. And I think I was writing myself into being okay with it.
Now, you grew up with a dad who you did not get along with particularly well, as I understand it from Aria Levy's profile of you that was in The New Yorker some time back.
Yeah.
It was a complicated
relationship. We had a complicated relationship.
Okay. Complicated always covers a huge geography.
Yeah.
And then you encounter a phone call that you get.
Yes.
And describe that, and then what happened to you internally in the months to come.
Yeah, I think of the phone call as a huge turning point in my life, as a light going on, because I think I had really, really struggled to understand what this missing piece, not only in my family, in, you know, your memories of your childhood, and you go, I had a sense there was something else going on and I didn't really know what it was. I think a lot of people have that. And so as you become an adult, you start to realize, oh, this was the way my mom struggled. This is the way my dad struggled. I had sort of on top of that this like unavoidable, constant obsession with gender my whole life, probably, you know, from the age of 15 up until, you know, when I got this phone call.
Beginning with when? What set it off?
I just hated, you know, a lot of it's just feminism. Growing up in, you know, patriarchy, you have this real sense as a young woman growing up or a girl, like there are so many things I want. I want power. I want to be brilliant. And then you're being told constantly, you know, be cute and engage the male gaze.
Mm-hmm.
G-A-Z-E, not G-A-Y.
No,
I know you know, but
I got it. Yeah.
You're nodding, but I just want to make sure the listeners aren't wondering why I'm trying to engage male gaze if I was.
We'll get to that.
So I tried to really kind of become myself, I was always, you know, anything that involved being female or feminine, I did, because I was identified as straight. But I always felt a lot of confusion, you know, about dressing up or makeup or high heels or sororities or things that tons of women actually feel confusion about. So I just thought, I'm a feminist warrior and worrier. I think when my parent came out, I went, oh, I come from a queer family. I come from a genderqueer family.
And you're how old when you get the phone call? from your parent?
Like, I don't know, it was 4 years ago, 47, 46.
So it's got a complete, your head must have almost come off.
Yes,
it,
my just head as
it
came
does,
off.
Just as it does in the show, just
yes.
as the family does in the show.
Yeah, no, it was illuminating, and also I was obviously emotionally
And it's not as
struck.
Simple as, aha, now I know everything. It's got to be like, much more complicated.
Yeah, I think it's now I know why I never understood anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm still in the process of understanding all of the versions of having a trans parent.
Now, were there writers, were there presentations of either feminism or trans people in the arts, in film, in books that helped you get to the point where you were able to write transparent?
Well, there was Liver and Cox on Orange is the New Black. And there weren't a lot of other sort of regular positive experiences of just trans people living their lives.
Usually as victims on crime shows.
Victims or villains.
Yeah.
And then, you know, talk shows and this kind of very sensational kind of circus feeling around transness. There's a book called Whipping Girl by Julia Serrano, mm-hmm. which totally changed my life and my thinking, really just kind of zeroing in on trans misogyny. And that really kind of helped me to understand something I knew a lot about, which was misogyny, and being able to connect it to trans women, and in particular people from my parents' generation who might be a little bit older, who might not, quote-unquote, be passing as easily, who might be the brunt of a lot of anger in society or people yelling things on the street. And it just kind of really helped me to understand how everything fit together.
You got a little bit of criticism that you have Jeffrey Tambor playing this role instead of a trans actor. But how do you react to that criticism?
Yeah, I mean, sort of my headline is I take that criticism full force and absolutely positively agree with all trans people who say that cis people should not be playing trans people. I 100% agree with that statement.
Is it understood as a kind of the equivalent of blackface?
Yes,
or
it's considered transface. So there's some controversy going on right now with a movie where Matt Bomer has been cast as a trans woman, and all of my trans friends are rightfully really angry. And I do kind of agree that 4 years after Transparent or 3 years after Transparent, in many ways we as a culture should know better. There have been some amazing defenses of Transparent out there that I really appreciate. One is that Maura was transitioning at a late age, and this is really the best way to show somebody who went all the way up to the age of 70 presenting male.
Jill, I also want to talk to you about your new show, also on Amazon, called I Love Dick, based on a book of the same wonderful title. This is a story about a couple married for what seems like a very long time, maybe erotically bored with each other. And they go from their house in New York City on a creative adventure to Marfa, Texas, which I think may be the second great stronghold of hipsterism in America today. What drew you to that story?
Well, I loved the book. I couldn't believe that Chris Krause existed and somehow she had been kept from us. In particular, though, I think this triangle where here's a couple, Chris and Solvere, who haven't had sex in a while and who, you know, have a real intellectual connection, but the physical is no longer really working, and they meet a guy.
The writing instructor.
Yes, aptly named Dick. And suddenly, they have a new Dick in their marriage.
Love that you just go by Dick, because usually someone would, you know, if one is born a Richard, they would Rich, Rick, Richie, Ricky. There's so many.
Just Dick.
Yes. Is it possible that I saw you on a horse yesterday?
Yeah, I have a ranch just outside of town.
Oh. How big? I'm curious.
You want to know how big my ranch is?
Dick is played, I should say, by Kevin Bacon with the steeliest of blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
And every wrinkle exquisite in his neck and face. It's just, it's like Richard Ford come to life on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, he's the sort of ultimate man object, and Dick is performing masculinity hard, and he's doing it
keep
to
it up.
He's doing it because he's worshipped for that masculinity. And I just love watching this marriage attempt to, first they see him and then they try to use him, and then they, you know, they have him in their minds. And to me, I feel like I've never seen this story before. I've never seen, you know, the story you think is that the woman's going to have the affair, But in this story, Silvera goes, let's keep talking about this. I'm in. Let's keep talking about Dick. And that is so transgressive to me and so unheterosexual American male, but yet so incredibly common. There are so many ways in which heterosexual men allow other men's masculinity into their relationship as a way to keep it up.
Yeah.
Maybe porn, maybe patriarchy. There are ways in which men depend on other men to be a man. And I love the way that this story takes that and makes it really personal.
And do you feel that you've said what you're going to say about, I don't think, I can't imagine it is, about feminism with these shows? Or is this going to remain your theme or generalized theme for years to come? And what plans do you have?
Yeah, I think the shows are a document of my becoming, as cheesy as that sounds. I sound like Tammy. She had like a, I am becoming. So
tattoo.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And it's a document of all of our becoming, you know, everybody in my family and the people in the writer's room and the people on the set. And I was having a conversation with Jeff Bezos at the Golden Globes. He was sitting next to me at the table.
Because Transparent is produced by Amazon.
Yes. And I said, I gotta use this time wisely. I'm gonna ask him some important questions. And I said, you know,
you wanted a discount on books.
Exactly. I said, sometimes I get really distracted from TV making because I really get excited about the idea of movements and changing the world and feminism. And he said, you know, storytelling is probably one of the most effective levers I could think of that changes the world, even more so than politics. And, yeah, that kind of calmed me down and said, okay, I am doing it. You know, I think as a kid I was so like, okay, I have to – you know, my mom was involved in the women's movement and the civil rights movement was going on. You know, I was growing up in the 70s in Chicago in an integrated neighborhood in the middle of the city, and it was all about ERA and the Black Panthers. And I really wanted to be part of a movement. And he made me realize that I am part of it, and I'm doing so through storytelling.
But you, right now, we don't have to pat ourselves in the back and be so self-congratulatory, but you have gay marriage going through the Supreme Court. You have a president celebrating Stonewall. You have awareness of gay and lesbian issues that is far greater than it's ever been before, even to some extent trans issues. Discussion of gender is not only a matter for the Academy, but it's here we are. And at the same time, by the way, a woman most likely to be first president of the United States.
God willing.
And then on the other hand, you have a reaction to it. When you look at the American scene, when it comes to the issues that you are most passionate about, when it comes to gender issues, where are we and where do you expect to see us in a short period of time down the road? Is it seem like forward progress, or is it that dark?
Well, we're absolutely moving forward, and this feeling of possibility, plus this incredible, fearful, violent fascism, are both marks of the end of something. When you say, "Is it getting better or getting worse?" It's both
at the
same time.
And the end of it's the end of a patriarchal construction, is what.
That's the plan. Can you help me with this? Matriarchal revolution imminent. Yes, that is coming. The question is, will it happen in, you know, soon?
You also use a phrase that has been around for a while, the female gaze, the male gaze and the female gaze.
Yeah, G-A-Z-E.
G-A-Z-E, I got it. And I want to get a sense of the way that works in practical terms, where you work in terms of writers and producers and people doing lighting. How you work, Jill Soloway, as opposed to the way generations of male directors and producers in television and film have worked. What's different?
Yeah, I bring sort of, you know, whether or not it's the female gaze or feminine style of leadership, meaning that you stand in the back of your troops and you push them forward. I'm definitely not inventing this. This is, you know, when a lot of people are talking about management right now, they talk about, you know, working from underneath or from behind their staff. And I think it's a really common sense way of, you know, being lazy, actually. I love to come to work and have the attitude of, I don't know the answer. Let's ask the production designer. I have no idea. What do you think? You know, to ask people what they think actually allows me to come to work and kind of just be a leader rather than micromanage every department.
So less Napoleonic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what happens on the set? You know, we just kind of connect over the feeling that we can't believe that we get to do this for a living. We do this thing called box where we waste a ton of time standing in a circle talking about how we're doing. We waste like a half an hour every day.
Describe what that discussion is like.
It's call time. It's 8:30. It's time for the first rehearsal. So if you were on a normal set, it would be time to go to the set and rehearse. But instead, the AD kind of starts clapping a little slowly, and then the clap kind of moves throughout the stage, and we all just kind of start to murmur, box, 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 and then we all kind of move into a circle. Sounds really culty, right?
A little bit.
But it has a purpose.
Okay.
So we move into a circle, and so whoever wants to gets up on the box, and they just speak for a minute.
And it's non-hierarchical?
Yes. Could be anybody.
Okay.
From craft service to, you know, the executive from Amazon. And they just speak for a minute or two, and they say this is—
About what?
However they're feeling that morning. You know, I had a really rough weekend because this happened, and, you know, my mom is ill, and I spent all weekend in the hospital. It feels really good to be here.
Okay, half the audience is applauding this, and half the audience is rolling their eyes. Why is it effective?
Because—
What does it bring to the—
Okay, so it brings the fact that we actually spend the day working faster because we're all emotionally connected. We all kind of heart connect early in the day, so we actually are able to then just jump into this sense of a really quick moving machine. Where
was anybody not with the program? And so
they probably are. I don't hear about them.
But nobody walked.
No, yeah. We do it all the time now. Yeah. And then what else? It prioritizes emotions. We're making a TV show about feelings. So I think a lot of times when there's a sort of masculine or patriarchal set, a lot of people are spending a lot of energy trying to come back from the ways in which they cut the energy by going, you know, we're in a hurry, we're running out of time, we're running out of light, prioritize the equipment, hurry, 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 schedule, 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 yelling, okay, quiet, and action. And now the camera is rolling and we're looking at two people who are attempting to portray feeling. So all we do by some of these methods, it's just protect feeling from the beginning of the day. We don't have to figure out how to bring it back. We're just spending the whole day being in feeling.
It's fascinating. I should do my job differently.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jill Soloway, the creator of Transparent and the movie Afternoon Delight and the new pilot, I Love Dick.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at deloitte.com/us/engineeringadvantage.